Welcome to the second sermon in our sermon series entitled Deep Trust, Choosing to Trust God in Defining Moments. Today's sermon title, The Faith to Start. Open your Bible to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, and let's begin.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together this morning. And Lord, I pray that we could hear your voice calling to us, we could hear your voice leading us. And Father, I pray you could give us a trust in you that's willing to leave behind whatever we need to leave behind to go where you're going and to be where you're at. Father, I pray your blessings on myself and all these good people. And we ask in the great name of Jesus, amen. Well, church, it's good to be with you this morning. Happy St. Paddy's Day. I hope you eat a lot of corned beef, one of God's great gifts to man. And I got a couple announcements before we dig into the message this morning. First of all, I want to thank everyone who came out to skating yesterday. That was an awesome time. So far as I know, no one had to go to the ER. So I count that as a victory. And last night, we also had a crew from our church that served at the Upsides of Downs event. Served 700 families. With special needs, raise money for it. So give them a round of applause. They were there late into the night. Really appreciate them. And then I want to give you an update of kind of the preaching schedule. I have to go to Fort Jackson starting this week for a couple weeks. Just got to do secret army chaplain stuff. I would tell you about it. I'd have to kill you. Very, very secret. Doing some training down there. But so this is what the preaching schedule is going to look like. Next week, Jovan's going to preach. Then the week after that, our lead pastor, Dave Collins, is going to come and preach. So maybe many of you have not heard him before. It's going to be awesome. Every good thing I've learned about God and ministry, I've learned from that guy. He is an awesome man of faith and excited to have him here. We call him Doc, so if you hear Doc, that's who we're talking about, our lead pastor, Dave Collins. And then the week after, Jovan will preach, and then I'm back. And I'll be back with some thunder in my blood. So that's kind of the schedule that's coming up. Just want to make you aware. But today, we are going to continue our series on deep trust. So we started that last week, and we're talking about what does it look like to have a relationship with God where we trust him in more significant ways? And we said that at the end of the day, this is what this journey with God is all about. It's all about building that trust. And this is a challenging journey. And it's one that we have to be willing to embark on and stretch ourselves on to really get to the place where God wants us to go. And we started by looking at the life of a man named Abraham. And Abraham lived 4,000 years ago. And Abraham lived a life that has significantly impacted human history. And that might sound like an exaggeration, but it's not at all. Because think about this. Abraham, if you were to ask any person of a Jewish faith, Muslim faith, or Christian faith, they would all point back to Abraham and say he's one of the forefathers of their faith. I think we're the only ones that are right in that. But that's what they would say. But what's interesting about that is it just shows you how much of an impact this man has had on human history. He lived 4,000 years ago. And still today, all kinds of people think about his life and study his life and try to learn from his life. And what made his life great was simply his willingness to trust God. That's why we remember him. That's why people are fascinated with him. That's why people want to claim him sort of as their own, because he lived this life of incredibly deep faith. And I think at the end of the day, the most important thing in our life is that we go on this same journey with God, where we learn to trust him and follow him and rely on him and surrender our lives to him. And this is the journey of deep trust. So let me give you a picture of what my hope is, just as we go through it. My hope is that all of us are trusting God, or again, another word to use for trust is faith. If you hear people talk in the church about faith, that just means trusting God. Those are synonyms. And so being people of deep trust or great faith, what does that look like? It means that our faith would make ripples in our families and our communities. For some of us, we are the first generation in our families to have a relationship with God that's impactful in our life. And my hope is that your faith would be so rich that it would change the trajectory for generations to come in your family. Some of you, maybe you've grown up in a family that believed, and my prayer for you is that you would just continue to show an even deeper level of trust and faith that you get to pass down to generations below you. And I pray, and my hope is that we would influence the community around us, because we would have such a rare and unique faith that it would draw people to God. You with me on this, church? Here's the second part. I pray and I hope that our church's faith would elevate the community around us. I want people to come into our church, to be part of our church, and to leave here and trust God in deeper ways. I want people to leave here and have that sense that God is winning. God is at work in the world. God is doing stuff. And we can be part. You with me on this? And that's what deep faith is about. Deep faith is being the kind of people where our greatest delight in our life is following Jesus Christ. That we would value that above all. That our greatest passion would just be to make sure our lives are following closely to where he's leading us. And that would be our greatest joy. That we would be people that pray boldly. I think people of deep trust and great faith, they pray different. Because they see prayer as their greatest asset and weapon in this world. If God is real, and if God is good, and if God is powerful, and if God cares specifically about you, then prayer is a very, very real and powerful thing. And I think people of deep trust, they pray different. They pray like God is going to answer. They pray boldly, and they pray with expectation. And my hope is that we would be people that pray different. People would come around you and be like, hey, man, I've heard you pray before. Could you pray for this situation in my life? And you would just be a person that shows God hears, God listens, God cares, and God is moving. And that we would also be people who would relish the opportunity to show the preciousness of Christ in pain and struggle. I think people of deep trust in God, when they are in pain, when life is hard, when things don't turn out, and they just cling to God in those moments, it shows to the world the preciousness of their Savior, of Christ. And it's a powerful thing. And that's what I want for you and for me. I don't want pain to drive me away from God. I want it to drive me into God. You with me on this? I don't want heartache and hurt to push me away from God. I want to see it as an opportunity to get closer to God and to honor him. By saying, I'm not turning my back on you. I'm going to trust you even through this. And so this is just kind of a picture in your mind of what this deeper trust looks like. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12 today. And this is the beginning of Abraham's story, where God first calls out to him and calls him on this journey. It's page 8 in the Bibles around you. It just feels so good to say page 8. We're always in page 1400, 37. But today we're right at the beginning. So you can read along, but here's what it is. Genesis 12, starting at verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord said to Abram." And remember, at this point, he's Abram. God is going to change his name a little bit later. He's going to give him an Aham at the end of it. When God gives you an Aham at the end of your name, you're doing it right. He's not there yet. It's still the beginning of the journey. I'm still hoping for the day to be Chet Aham. Not there yet. I'm still Chet. So he's Abram. And this is what God says to him. This is God speaking. He says, "Go." Everybody say with me, go. Go, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So this is God saying, Abram, leave everything behind. And do you notice kind of the progression there? Leave your country, your family, your father's house, what you know, what you're comfortable with, what you've grown up, how you see, leave that all behind to the land that I will show you. If I were Abram, I would have liked maybe a little more detail there. You know, what's that land look like? What's the economy like? What's the climate like? How's the neighborhood? Is it a good neighborhood, bad neighborhood? And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, look at this, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abram, if you go on this journey, not only will it be a blessing to you, but it's going to bless a lot of people. In fact, it's going to bless the whole world if you're willing to leave and go on this journey. So, Abram went. I think that's one of the most beautiful verses in the scripture. He went. God said, go. He went. Many times God says, go, and we say, no. God says, go, and we say, let's talk about this. Let's negotiate this. Let's work this out. But Abram went. And that right there is just a picture, a glimpse of what made him a man of deep trust or great faith, as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him. Lot is his nephew. He's a troublemaker. There's one in every family. We'll talk about him later. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So here's the big idea I just want to sear into your heart and your mind this morning. I want you to think about this. I want you to internalize it. That this journey of deep trust, it begins, and hear me out on this, it begins when we trust what's ahead of us with God is better than what's behind us without him. And this journey, there's always going to be tension between what's ahead of us and what's behind us. These are rarely easy choices. These are rarely easy moments. These always will push our fears and our insecurities and our worries. But this is where deep trust comes in. What's ahead of us with God is always better than what's behind us without him. Whatever's behind you, if God's not there, it's no good, no matter how good it looks. And whatever's ahead of you, if God's there, no matter how unimpressive it looks, it's a better place to be. You with me on this, church? What's ahead of us with God is so much better than what's behind us without him. Yesterday when I was kind of finishing up this message, and I said to Allie, man, I love this idea. I said, let me share it with you. I told her this, and she said, say it again, I don't get it. So I said it again. And I said, man, isn't that awesome? I got really excited. She's like, it's okay. I said, okay, this is a great idea. She said, be quiet, the baby's sleeping. Yes, ma'am. So I'm hoping that you are more inspired by this than that. What's ahead of us is always better. Yeah, the dads are looking at me like, I get you, brother. I got your back. Thank you. All right, so let's talk about three aspects of this. What's behind us? We have to talk about that. What is behind us? How do we leave that behind? What's ahead of us? Where does God's call lead us to, and how to begin this journey? So what's behind us? What's ahead of us? And how to begin this journey? Let's talk about what's behind us. Now, the challenge with all of this, it begins in this place called Haran. And Haran, just to give you a little bit of geographical and historical context, this is where Abraham receives this call. And Abraham, he was born in ancient Mesopotamia, which is modern day Baghdad, Iraq. So if you can kind of picture where that is a little bit. And then if you were to go sort of northwest into modern day Turkey, the very southeastern part, this is where the ancient city of Haran was. And so it was just north of Syria, modern day Syria and modern day Israel today. And this is where Abraham was living and had been living. And Haran was a natural place to go because it's where a lot of trade routes went. And it was a good place to make a living. And Abraham was a good enough businessman and had done well and acquired a lot of possessions and a lot of kind of people within his household. And he had a good life, for sure. And Haran was the place where his family was most likely from, and they had a religious heritage and things like that. And so what makes this all difficult is that by and large, Haran was a good place to be. He did well. He was comfortable. He understood it. He knew how to navigate that city and how to fend for himself in a good way and make things happen. And although you've never been to Haran, probably, we could take a survey, but I'm thinking no one's been there. On the other hand, we've all actually been there. Because Haran represents that place in life where we're comfortable. It represents that place in life that we feel like, I've got my hands on this. I can sink my teeth into this. I can understand this situation. It's that place where we feel like we have a sense of power and control, and where we have a sense that, man, this is a good, safe, comfortable place to be. This is Haran. And there's nothing wrong with Haran at all, except God's not there. That's the big problem. And God says to Abram, you have to leave this place that you're comfortable with, this place that you know, this place that you feel like you got it figured out. This isn't where your future with me is at. And I think on our faith journey, there's always going to be those moments where God speaks to each one of us and he says, hey, Haran, it's no longer the place for you. It's no longer where I'm at. I'm calling you into a different place. And it's hard because what's hard about it is it's a good place. It's a comfortable place. It's a safe place. But it's not the place where God is at. And so we stay there. And we get comfortable. And let me give you some reasons why we're tempted to stay there. One is when we're not really intentionally pursuing God's purpose and direction for our life, when we're not really seeking it, then what we will end up doing is settling for a safer place. God's call is rarely safe. It's rarely easy. It comes with challenge, and it requires that deep trust, because that's what he's trying to build in us. And if we're not intentionally looking for it, chances are we'll pick Haran over God's future. You with me on this, church? Are there any souls alive out here this morning ready to receive a good message? Are you going to tell me to be quiet too? Here's the second reason. We're sometimes unwilling to accept short-term loss for God's best for our lives. And think about Abraham for a minute. It's so easy to glorify this, but can you imagine the tension that he felt? I mean, God didn't get real specific here. Abraham, go to land that I will show you. Could you show me now? Might make it, because then I could at least know what cardinal direction to go. No, just go. God, where are we going to sleep? Just go. Are there any nice hotels on the way? Holiday Inn Expresses? Kids love the pools? Let me know. Denny's that we can get breakfast? God, how is all? Just go. Just go. Thanks, Lord. That was really helpful. And there's tension in there, right? It looks like, how's this all going to work out? What's going to happen? In some ways, I feel like that feels like a potential loss. But in the long term, following God is always the greatest gain. You with me on this, church? But sometimes when you're leaving Haran, it feels like a loss. It feels like what you're leaving behind is so great and so precious because you can't yet see all that God has for you. And that's where we have to trust him. And then lastly, sometimes we overcomplicate God's call. Maybe I'm the only one that does it, but there have been times in my life where I knew exactly what God wanted me to do, but I talked myself out of it. And I am so persuasive with myself. I can convince myself of anything. And I knew what God was asking me to do, but it just felt too hard, too scary, felt beyond me. So I began to just, you know, talk myself in circles, get advice from people that I knew were going to give me the wrong advice. You see, I sought out godly counsel. People who gave me good advice said, they're crazy, not listening to them. It's easy to overcomplicate it sometimes because this call, after all, was pretty simple. Abram, go and leave and go to this new place. And let me just give you a couple more ideas about this. Here's what I think the reality of God's call in our lives is: what feels safe can often be the most dangerous thing. And what feels dangerous is often the safest path. Haran felt safe. But we're never safe if we haven't entrusted our whole life to Christ. Only in his hands is it really safe. And wherever he wants to lead it and wherever he wants to go with it is the absolute best place for us to be. And anytime we feel like God might ask us to sacrifice, I think with God, it's never really ends up being a sacrifice. On the one hand, in the short run, it is a sacrifice. But in the long run, God will always give to you in this life or the next infinitely more than we have ever gave up for him. You with me on this, church? It's never, you can't outgive God or out-sacrifice God. He gave us his own son as a free gift. And we can never give more than what he's done for us. And so we stay in Haran. So here's a prayer that I find really, really helpful. And I want to pray this through this series. And I want to pray this for myself, but I want you to pray it as well. Here's what it is. Lord, guide me into your will, regardless of what change is necessary, regardless of where I must go and what I must do. I want you to know, Lord, I'm ready to follow you. This is a prayer that helps get us out of Haran. Now, if you're like me, that feels a little nerve-wracking to pray that prayer, doesn't it? That makes me nervous saying that to God. Because there's so many things in my life that I'm comfortable with. I like the way they are. God, don't shake this up. But at the end of the way, at the end of the day, I want to be that type of man that says, no, God, whatever is ahead of me with you is better than what's behind me without you. And if that's where you are, that's where I want to be. You with me on this, church? Let's pray this prayer. Let's have the courage to pray this prayer and see how God moves. So this is what's behind us. And there will be times where we have to leave things behind us so God can do something new. Some of us, we've been carrying baggage on this journey. Our faith journey, it hasn't gotten too far because we're carrying stuff with us that God says, you gotta leave those behind. Because where we're going, those are no longer necessary. Those are no longer appropriate. But where we're going is better. So let's talk about what's ahead of us. What's ahead of us is blessing. What does God say to Abraham? Abraham, I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless the world through you. And God's call is always a call into blessing. It always is. Now, it might not be the blessing that you would pick out. It might not be the blessing of, will God give me this great house in Hawaii and pay all my bills and miraculously send, you know, a couple $1 million check in the mail? But the blessing that God gives you are the blessings that you actually need. And the blessings that if you had his perspective and you could see everything that he sees, they would be the blessings you most want. And his call is always into blessing. And here's what I know about God. He is way better at blessing your life than you are. He is way better at figuring out how to bless you than you are figuring out how to bless yourself. When I was young, I used to love to go over my grandma's house. And one of the reasons was, I don't know if every grandma's like this, but as soon as I came through the doors, are you hungry? And the answer is, of course I am. You know, I don't care what I just ate. Yes, I am famished. And my grandma, could make the best ham sandwiches ever. I don't even like ham, but I ate those, you know, by like the loaf of bread. Yep. One more, would you like another? Of course I would. One more, yes, I'll take a Coke with that. And it was an amazing experience. I was a Husky kid. Don't judge me. They were so good. And I would watch at times my grandma make these because I thought, I got to make these at home. And so I'd watch her do it, you know, and she had her little tricks. And then I would go home and I would try to make them. And they were never as good. And I was like, what is this grandma magic going on here? And how do you get it? No matter how many times I tried to make them, and I hate ham to this day, but if my grandma were around, I would scarf those things down. She just does something magical with them. And God's ability to bless your life is far better than what you can create. He can make a better ham sandwich for you than you can. Yeah, I'm going to compare it to that. His ham sandwich is way better than your ham sandwich. So here's what it means. It means you trust him to bless you and you make obedience your priority. Instead of looking to bless your own life, trust God for blessing and make obedience your priority. What I think we tend to do is we try to make our own blessing and we make obedience optional. We make obedience okay if it makes sense, if it feels safe, if it fits how we see things. But God's ability to bless you is better than your ability to bless yourself. And not only this, God says to Abram, not only will you be blessed, but the world will be blessed through you. And whenever you say yes to God's call, it will bless everyone around you. It's never just only about us. God's blessings are never only about us. They're always also about other people. And when you live God's call in your life, it will bless your family. It will bless the world. It will bless the church. It will bless those around you in a greater way. Because God's blessing is never just about us. It's also about others. So let's talk about how do we begin this journey. And I think one of the most important things, again, to point out is that when God called, Abraham went. And I call this the law of the call. That one of the, again, the tensions of this deep trust life with God is that you have to move, you have to take action, you have to trust, you have to take a step forward. That movement precedes fulfillment. And this is what makes it a journey of trust. That God says, do this, but before everything is going to be figured out the way that we want it, God says, you have to move before you see the whole picture. You have to take the step before all your questions are answered. Movement precedes fulfillment. Because if my faith is willing to move to the call in the voice of God, it means that is a real and powerful faith. If my faith has no movement attached to it, it's a dead faith. Because if I only move when God makes everything understandable and clear and easy, that's not faith. That's not trust. That's just figuring it out on your own. You with me on this, church? Movement precedes fulfillment. One of my favorite stories about this is when Jesus interacts with Peter, Simon Peter, and this incident happens. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Peter, put out into the deep water and let down the nets to catch. Peter was a fisherman. And Simon answered, Simon Peter, they love to put a lot of names together in the Bible. Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. Jesus, it's dead out there. They're not biting. No walleye, perch around. This is just a waste of time. We're not going back out. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. I think those words are beautiful. Because you say so. Anybody else could ask me, the answer is no. Anybody else could ask me and say, hey, go back out, let down the nets, try again after night. But Jesus, it's different when you ask me because of who you are. because you say so, I will. And they'd done so, they let down the nets, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And I love that line, because you say so. And I want to be that type of person that responds to God in that very way. Because you ask me, I'll do it. Abram hears the call of God. I don't think he would have left Haran for anyone else, but he did it for Christ. And I want to be the type of person that whatever Christ asked me to do, because he asked me to do it, because I know who he is, because I trust him, because I love him, because I've committed my life to him, the answer will always be yes, because you said so. You with me on this, church? And this is what deep trust is all about. Several years ago, we had this great preacher come into our church, Calvin Miller, and for the weekend he was here, I drove him around. I was kind of his personal chauffeur and took him out to eat, and it was a fun time because I got to just hang out with him, ask him a bunch of questions, and he preached at our church, and we treated him really, really nice. And one of the days that he got up to preach, he said, "Man, this has been great. You guys have been so nice to me, taking me out to nice dinners, picking me up, dropping me off, telling me nice things about how I've helped you and how great my books are and how great my speaking is. You guys have just loved on me and given me this great opportunity to share my gifts with you. It's been so awesome." It's like, but as awesome as this has been, I got to be honest with you, I'd rather just be at home with my wife, Barbara. This has all been great. And I appreciate it, and you guys have treated me like a rock star. But if I'm honest, I would rather just be at home with her. So we kicked him out. No, I'm just kidding. But I loved what he was saying. And I thought, man, what a beautiful relationship that must be. But when I heard him say that, it reminded me that I want to be like that with Christ. That Christ, all this stuff is great, but what I really want to do is be where you're at. And if I have to lose this to be with you, it's an easy choice. If I have to give this up because you're over here, then I'm in, because all I want to do is be where you're at, is be with you. Because the certainty that I crave for, you are my certainty. The joy that I long for, you are my joy. The hope that I need is in you. And wherever you are is wherever I want to be. And whatever is behind me, if you're not there, then I know that's not where I need to be, because it's better with you ahead. You with me on this, church? And can we be people that respond to God with that rare and unique faith that says, whatever's behind me without you does not compare to what is ahead of me with you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us. Father, the journey of faith is never easy. And Lord, you didn't design it to be easy. You designed it to stretch us. You designed it to help us to know you in more real ways. You designed it in a way that we could see your great faithfulness and goodness through the uncertainty and difficulty of life. But Father, I pray that we could be people that just respond to you like Peter did that day. Say, because you say so, I will. Father, I pray anything that we're holding on to, any ways that we're staying in Haran this morning, help us to leave it and to go toward the place where you are, the place where you're calling us. Father, I pray in that place we could find your blessing and we could be your blessing. We could receive it and we could give it. And we could see the wisdom and the power and the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. And I ask this in the good name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.